Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and our Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to open the word and to come before thee. We pray, O Lord, for the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon the word of God. We ask, O Lord, for a drawing near to the heart. We pray, O Lord, for tender hearts, that our hearts might be softened and responsive. O Lord, speak to us, we pray. Correct us and comfort us. Help us, we ask. We think particularly of this time in our country, and ask, O Lord, that would instruct us and help us, and that would speak to us, and that would strengthen us, and indeed bring a great faith into our hearts, that we might trust in the Lord. And we ask these things, that we might glorify thee. We think of the wonderful joy of the gospel, the glory of God. And Lord, we pray, lift us up to these things. We ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. Our reading this evening is in the book of Nahum, And chapter 1, we were in this chapter on the Lord's Day, and I thought we'd come back again to this chapter tonight. I'll read from the first verse and read the whole chapter. The Burden of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, the Lord revengeth, and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world, and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counsellor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down, when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, I will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. May the Lord bless that reading of his holy word. We'll turn to the Lord in prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we turn again in prayer. We come, O Lord, as thy people and thy children. We come, O Lord, as those who are poor and needy. No doubt at the present time we feel our frailty more than ever, that we are. But Lord, we thank thee that thou art mindful of the dust, for the God of grace and a God of love, and a God who remembers thy people. O Father, therefore, in Christ Jesus the Saviour, through the blood of Christ and his righteousness, We pray thou would look upon us and thou would remember us and remember our circumstances, O Lord, we pray. We think of our families and our church and our churches. We think of the society in which we live. Lord, have mercy upon us and forgive us our iniquities, forgive us our sins. We think of the sins of the people and we ask, O Lord, that would have mercy upon us. Lord, we are sorry for them. We are sorry for our backslidings. And we are sorry for our wanderings. And we pray we might quickly make haste to our God. We might fall upon our knees and call upon the name of God. We might draw near. And particularly, O Lord, for the world, they might look to Jesus Christ, see in him the Saviour of the world. And he is the only Saviour. And we pray that men might come to their senses and they might begin to see their need of Christ, that they are sinners. And Lord, we pray that in the mighty power of God, they might hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They might understand it with their mind and their very souls and might trust in Jesus Christ, might look to him and believe. Lord, we pray this not only for our society, but Lord, for those who are in our churches, that now they might believe. And those who have not heard the gospel, they might now hear and might quickly believe and know the great strength of God in the soul and know the grace of God in life. Oh Lord, therefore, we commit to thee these things and pray for the church and the cause of the gospel at this time. We think of this time of uncertainty and a time where in many places, the Lord's people cannot meet in a location, although we can meet in other ways and can communicate. And bless that also, we pray, O Lord. But as we think of this lull in our services, oh Lord, we pray that the people might not get out of the habit of coming and the Lord might slacken and go further away, but rather might be the very opposite. They might indeed be waiting for these services to open again and might hurry to the house of God and there, O Lord, to find peace of heart. So, Lord, hear our prayers and our petitions. We do pray for a divine visitation, a time of revival, and for the Spirit to come. Lord, we feel at this juncture things are very different, but may it be different in this sense that the Spirit might fall upon the people. There might be a true unity of heart, togetherness, and then, O Lord, thou wilt command the blessing. Blessed God, hear our prayers. Remember us, remember our families, remember our people. Have mercy upon our nation. And we ask these things in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we look at some of those words in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. We looked at this on the Lord's Day. And chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Thought I would come back to the word stronghold this evening. Stronghold essentially means a place of refuge or hiding place. There are many verses in the scriptures that speak of hiding and a refuge. And this word stronghold conveys that, a place where we can shelter and go behind the wall, so to speak. And of course, that was the context. The context was the people of Jerusalem under siege in the time of Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. And he had come and laid siege to Jerusalem, and the Assyrian armies were encamped around Jerusalem. And of course, the people were behind the walls. No doubt they hoped that the walls of Jerusalem would protect them. But that is not the meaning of this verse. This verse speaks of the Lord is good, and then goes on to say a stronghold in the day of trouble. So therefore, it is the Lord who is the stronghold, not the walls of Jerusalem. Now, no doubt, the walls of Jerusalem would be in a very good illustration, an illustration all around them, of this word stronghold. But the point is not the walls, but God himself, Jehovah, is the stronghold. And so it proved to be. The Lord removed the siege. The Assyrian army was destroyed overnight. And then in time, after Sennacherib returned to Nineveh, then Sennacherib himself was murdered by his sons. And that is the reference in verse 15, with the good news coming to Jerusalem. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That was the death of Sennacherib, and peace to Jerusalem. But this verse here, about the Lord being a stronghold, we can think in many ways of how the Lord protects us. And first of all, protects us in Christ. Now, some of these things we mentioned on Sunday, but let's mention some of them again and some extra things as well. The Lord protects us in Christ. That Christ is the enclosure, this blessed enclosure in which we can hide. We mentioned on Sunday the walls of righteousness. We think of these great high walls of Christ's righteousness. And when we trust in Christ, then we hide behind these walls, you could say. We are dressed in righteousness. And this picture of the walls also is helpful. We think of these great walls of Christ's obedience, of the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and how strong these obediences are, these Ten Commandments. But then also we can think not just of the righteousness of Christ, but also the blood of Christ. And bringing in another picture, but applying it to this illustration we have of these walls, the blood is on the doorposts, you could say, and on the lintels, where a man would enter in. And of course, Christ took away our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And this is the strength of the walls. It satisfies God. It is part of the strength of Jesus Christ. These two things to do with the law of God. One, he obeys the law for us. And secondly, he takes away our breaking of the law of God. And so God is satisfied. And these walls truly do protect us and enclose us. We are safe from the justice of God, from the penalty of the law. God is satisfied with these walls. They are mighty, mighty walls. Indeed, as the term suggests, a stronghold. They are strong walls, these walls of Jesus Christ. And of course, as we think of this verse being in the Old Testament and being in the context of Nahum and Jerusalem, but the whole context of the Bible is the gospel. The Bible is dominated by the gospel. And rightly, we see in this expression, whether hiding place or refuge or stronghold, a reference to Christ, a picture of Christ, an illustration of Jesus Christ. Also with the gospel, and we think of these mighty walls of the gospel, the mighty decrees of God before the foundation of the world. How deep are the foundations of these walls, we might say, and the eternal counsel of the Trinity. There could not be a greater authority and power behind the building of these walls and the plan of redemption that God put together, the plan of redemption to send Jesus Christ into this world. So the planning and the structure, we see great strength in these walls from that perspective too. And then the mighty promises of God, the scriptures, all these things speak to us of gospel promises of Jesus Christ. The point I'm making here is this, that these walls are mighty walls. It is a stronghold. Indeed, it is the strongest stronghold one could ever have. It is not possible to have a stronghold than this stronghold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is in this stronghold we place our souls when we believe in Jesus Christ. We might be in weakness, but the walls are strong. And then the mighty person of Jesus Christ, to think that our Savior is no man or angel, but rather God who became man. And Jesus Christ, in his mighty person and his mighty work upon the cross of Calvary in his life, all these things together, who he was, the infinite Son of God, this is the strength. He is no weak Savior. He's a mighty Savior. But then, also, he protects us because we trust in Christ. Now, it's not that our trust enter into this stronghold. As the verse says, he knoweth them that trust in him. That's a wonderful promise that you might be not a very well-known person, the weakest Christian in the church, and yet the Lord knoweth that you trust in him. And so you are in the strongest position. Despite your weakness, you are in the mightiest and strongest position. But moving on to other thoughts, as a stronghold, he protects us from the devil. Now, Sennacherib was the enemy of Judah and Jerusalem. And in verse 14, it speaks of him being vile, for thou art vile. And in that sense, he reminds us of the devil. The devil himself is the enemy of our souls and opposes us and lays siege to us and would destroy us and taunts us, just like Sennacherib did and his accompanying generals. The devil is a great adversary, but is no match to this stronghold because of the mighty power of God. And his power and also his interest too, he protects his loved ones, his saints. And so indeed we are safe. This is true safety in Jesus Christ, even from the devil himself. We are safe in Christ. And he protects us from wicked men. And we're glad for this too. The Assyrians troubled Judah and Jerusalem. And the Lord saves his people from wicked men. And that's a good thing because there are many wicked men in this world who would trouble us and would persecute us. And there are many accounts in the history of the church of the Lord delivering his people from wicked men. And we note that too. As we begin to expand on this term, the stronghold of God, that we are in Christ and we trust in Christ, we enter the stronghold, the mighty stronghold. That is the greatest thing. But also these other truths too, protect us from the devil, protects us from wicked men. But also think of this, he protects us from ourselves. We are often our own worst enemy. We make foolish decisions and we place ourselves in danger. And sometimes we want to have our way, but the Lord stops us having our way. And we are perhaps put out by it, but it is for our good. In that sense, he protects us and he keeps us. And we have indeed the strength and the providences of Jehovah surrounding us. And in a way, you could say the stronghold is not stationary, it's mobile. Where we go, he's there with us and he protects us. He's a buckler and a shield, another way of saying a similar thought. But also, he protects us from our sins. Our sins are great enemies. And our besetting sins surround us, you could say. In that sense, a kind of a siege. We might feel under siege from our besetting sins, that they tower over us and they threaten to overwhelm us. And not just our besetting sins, but our many sins. And we have to battle against them. There's no question about that. We must fight against our sins. That is our duty. A royal battle, fight with all our strength. But also, we are allowed to cry to God for help. And so we can, and the Lord will come and will save us, will be a stronghold to us, and will help us and strengthen us against our sins. And then some other thoughts. He protects us from our sicknesses, which is very apt for this time in the history of the world. And although we know that sicknesses are part of this world, we understand that. We know we live a life which is very brief and uncertain. And yet we know the Lord does answer prayer. And he is the physician. Christ is the great physician. Our God is a physician. And these things are worth remembering. We're knowing that's we know that we do not live forever. We know that our life is only for a brief moment. And yet we have this grace. We have a God who is a father and a shepherd, and a God who answers prayers. And we can pray for our families, and rightly so, and pray for ourselves, and pray for our people and our nation. And it is right we do so. And the Lord hears prayers, and to pray to him, it is really the greatest advantage we have. We have our God, and to pray to him. And he is known, one of his names, the physician. He is indeed the great physician. And then he protects us from unseen dangers. Now, how often we are protected without even knowing it. He keeps us. We might not even pray for these things because we are unaware of these dangers. And yet the Lord might protect us. And I think this happens much more often than we think. We think of angels unawares, entertaining angels unawares. I think this is part of the Christian life. And we shall learn of these things. And sometimes we seem to be aware of an unusual, maybe, sequence of events or something happening in our life. And we wonder, and perhaps we wonder correctly, the Lord was protecting us in an unusual way. In any case, apart from angels unawares, his great providence, his mighty power over all things and orchestrating events and keeping us. So rightly, we pray to the Lord to keep us from evil. He protects us in dark times, as the verse says, in the day of trouble. Very apt phrase, a day of trouble. And there are days of trouble. Sometimes the troubles come in twos and threes. Sometimes one great trial. And the Lord is known for this, of protecting his people in dark times. There are verses that speak of him being with us in the valley of the shadow of death. And so indeed, the Lord has these promises for us to take hold upon. And you can't do much better than go to the Word of God, look at the promise, and believe it in your heart and take it to the Lord. Humbly, of course, knowing he is sovereign. We understand that. He is sovereign. But also, he's our sovereign Father and will hear our prayers. And we have such a wonderful God and a wonderful Father, and that we must remember. And not allow fear to take hold of us, but rather to trust. I will trust and not be afraid, as it says in Isaiah. And we have every reason to trust, because our Father is Almighty God. And indeed, that's some of my final thoughts. He protects us as a sovereign God. The Almighty God is our Father. This is our position. My dear friend, believe these things. Believe what has happened in your heart. The mighty power of God has come with a second birth, brought you to faith in Jesus Christ. And God has done this. But this is just the beginning. And this great power that moved your heart is the power of that is over all heavens. Sovereign ruler of the skies is the hymn we sing. And so the sovereign God, the God of all ages, the God of eternity, who can quantify, who can measure his strength? The mighty God. This mighty God is our Father, and he's our Heavenly Father. And so indeed, he protects us as a father. Indeed, the sovereign God is our Father, but he protects us as a father. And so we must remember that we have a Heavenly Father. And at the end of the day, we can maybe rest our weary souls and come to the Word of God and come to our Heavenly Father. And I'm sure we experience that. You've experienced that sense of turning to him in the Word of God in prayer. And your heart is at rest for that time you are praying and reading. And it is a skill to live in the presence of the Word of God and those promises. And to remember he is our Father. And we are in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Whatever happens to us, we are in the hands of God. Almighty God, and that is a good place to be. And then one final thought. He protects us forever. The Lord is good, it says in this verse. And we shall be eternally secure. That's a phrase I came across this morning. I was on my laptop and I was rebooting my laptop. And when it does that, different things have to be set on the laptop. And so I had to restart my recordings of Lloyd Jones. And up came the title, Eternally Secure. And that's a great title. Lloyd Jones has a sermon on it. And it is a wonderful phrase, eternally secure. In that sense, we are in the best place of all. We are in the stronghold. All those outside the stronghold are not in a good place. It is a sinking sand. Christ is a solid rock. Christ is a stronghold. God is our stronghold. And so indeed, of all places, we are in the best place when we are in Christ. And Almighty God is our Father. So these things are good, good things. And as the phrase says in our text, the Lord is good. And there's none good like the Lord. He's perfectly good. He's infinitely good. And he's good to us. Well, shall we turn to our God in prayer? Our Father and our God, as we come to the end of our meeting, we ask, O Lord, for thy benediction upon us. We pray indeed, O Lord, that thou would help us and bless us this evening. Let us rest in thee. Oh, that peace and quietness of the heart, that heavenly blessing. Lord, that nearness of God. Lord, there's nothing like it. We pray that when we tremble and are afraid, we might know the strength of God. Or even perhaps when we are full of self-confidence. Lord, we need to come to that place where we truly do rely on thee and discover our weakness and then know what indeed is our strength, that thou, O Lord, art our strength. And we pray, O Lord, that we might live our days in that consciousness, that nearness of God. We might know not only safekeeping, as we've spoken of this evening, but actually we might know joy unspeakable and full of glory. That this place of the stronghold is not only a protection, but it's a place where we are hedged in with the Lord. It's a place where we are with our Savior Jesus Christ and the glory and the joy. And the Lord, we pray that would fill us with the Holy Spirit and with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, Lord, we pray, give us this abounding nature of our Christian faith, that we might overflow with Christian blessings. Lord, draw near in this time and bless us. Oh, Father, we look to thee and we ask, O Lord, that thou would look to us and bless our hearts. Let us know Christian blessings, joy, love, peace, all these things. We might know holiness and truth, and all these things might come together most wonderfully in our heart. Keep us, O Lord, in the truth. Keep us, O Lord, in the love of God. And we ask these things through Christ our Saviour. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.